The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
Thank you guys very much for having Kelly and I out here. You're one of the seven churches who has supported us from the beginning. And we just very much appreciate you. You've supported us, I know, through your prayers. You've supported us just through the different communications that you've had towards us and also financially from the beginning. And we just are so grateful for the chance to be here and to share with you. Today in this message, I'm going to do kind of a short message from Scripture while also kind of incorporating some of the stories of what Jesus is doing down in Hartford City. We are from Hartford City, Indiana, and we've been planting there for a couple of years. And so you're going to hear some of that kind of mixed into the message. While we were singing that song, I was thinking about that he talks with me and he walks with me. And I was wondering if there's anybody in this room who has ever felt like, I don't know that he does talk with me. You know, I talk to him, but maybe you haven't heard from him. And I was thinking this week while preparing this message about, I think there's a lot of us who, we read the stories of the Bible, these crazy miracles, you know, parting of the Red Sea, you know, you see the dead raised to life, you see the blind healed, and you think, that's really cool to read about, but that doesn't happen in our city, and that doesn't happen in my living room. And I was thinking about that this week a lot while preparing this, that do we see the God of the Bible in our lives? Or does he feel different to us? About 2 weeks ago, I was talking to this guy named Dan, and he had a really interesting analogy, a really interesting word picture that he used when talking about God. And he said, he believes that the spiritual realm is happening around us at all times. And we all believe that, right? We're living here in the physical realm. We can see each other, but you can't see the unseen spiritual forces. You can't see the angelic, the demonic. You can't, you know, we don't often, like, physically hear the Lord, you know, like, with our ears, right? And there's a spiritual realm that is happening around us constantly, and it's very different than just our physical day-to-day. And when we were talking together, he used this analogy, which I loved. We were sitting in this little conference room at a table together, and he said, you know, above us and below us and in front of us and behind us, there are radio waves going through this room at all times. We're constantly surrounded by these radio waves. And if you get really silent, you can't hear anything, right? We cannot pick them up. And even as we're in this room, we don't hear those whatsoever. But if you take a radio, and if I were to put it here on this table, and I were to have the correct device, and I were to turn it on and begin to flip through the channels, well, guess what? Now we can hear oldies, we can hear classic rock, we can hear Christian music, rap, you know, whatever. We can dial in and begin to hear what was always there coming through this room, but we now have the proper device to be able to hear it. And he used that analogy of a radio to say, possibly it's not that God isn't speaking to us, it's that our hearts have been turned away from him to some degree. Our spirits are not open to him fully. And he was saying that as we grow in our faith and as we continue to surrender more of ourselves towards Jesus, it's like turning on that radio and you begin to actually hear from him and you begin to see things that you haven't seen before. And so what I want to do before we start is I just want to pray for us. Lord Jesus, I just ask that in this room today, you will attune our hearts to your Holy Spirit. Jesus, I just ask that you will help us to know your voice. You said your sheep will know the voice of their shepherd. And so I ask that we will hear your voice in this room today, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I ask that as we read your word, we will gather every insight you want us to. And I ask, Lord, that we will learn today, we will be challenged today, and we will surrender more of ourselves to you today. I just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read today in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, if you want to flip there. It's a story about this woman who suddenly comes face to face with the spiritual realm. And suddenly her life, she sees one of these miracles of the Bible, which she maybe had never seen before. She was a woman living in severe poverty, and she could not provide for herself or her family, but the Lord came and he did this miracle to provide for her. And so it's 2 Kings chapter 4, just starting there in verse 1. It says this: "The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves.' Elisha replied to her, 'How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?' 'Your servant has nothing there at all,' she said, 'except a little oil.' Elisha said, 'Go around, ask all of your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side.' So she left him, and afterwards she shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought her the jars, and she kept pouring. And while all the jars were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another one.' But he replied, 'There's not a jar left.' Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and she told the man of God, and he said, 'Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what's left.'" I love this story. And the thing that really stands out to me as I read this story is the fact that that oil was going to continue to pour until the final jar, no matter what. It's not like she had, 15 jars left, and she was like, "Wait, oh, it stopped." And the Lord's like, "Oh, sorry, we ran out of oil up here in heaven. Can't do more for you." No, the oil was going to continue to flow. And I got thinking about this, and I was thinking about the fact that if she did not have faith at all, and she, let's say, maybe was just a little bit lazy, what she would do is she would say, "Oh, Elisha, I think I got two jars in my pantry somewhere. I'll grab those real quick." And she would take those two jars and put them on her table. And guess what? The oil would have flowed and filled those two jars. And it would have been like, "Oh, that's a neat trick." And maybe she would have been able to live another week or two. But then the oil would have run out again, and she would have been back in her poverty. And God would have felt small to her. But if she had a little more faith, and she said, "You know what? He said, go get as many. Okay, I'm going to go knock on my neighbor's doors." And let's say that now she comes back and she has 30 jars. And they're splayed across her living room. And she starts to pour. Well, now we're starting to see a miracle, right? Like, this is a bigger deal. Because now it's not two, but it's 30. If she had more faith than that, though, and she said, "Okay, I'm going to all my neighbors in this neighborhood. And then I'm going to the neighborhood next door. And I'm going to go throughout this whole city." And let's say that she brought back 400 or 500 jars, and they're all over her living room, piled on the couch, they're on the kitchen counters, in the bathroom, and she just starts to pour into these 500 jars. Well, guess what? The oil would have poured into every single jar that she brought, right? And now we start to see a miracle of biblical proportions. And it says in this passage, she has not only enough to pay her creditors, but she has enough to live on for a couple of years to come after this. Like, the Lord has blessed her generously because she responded in faith to him. You can probably run ahead of me and see where the application of this is going, which is that the more of ourselves that we surrender to the Lord, the more that he pours into, right? The more that we say, "Lord, I'm not going to bring you one jar. I'm going to bring you every jar I can. I'm going to give you all of myself." Guess what? You start to see the Lord show up in some major, impressive, miraculous ways, the more that you surrender yourself. There's this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." In other words, if you give Jesus just a small amount, you say, "Here's one jar, I guess," then Jesus is probably going to seem small to you. You're going to reap sparingly. So we need to get into the practice of surrendering more of ourselves. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, I think when you read about, you know, the prophets in the Bible, you read about Moses, and you think, man, he sees the Red Sea parted, he sees the burning bush, he sees the pillar of cloud and fire, he sees the manna from heaven, and you're going, he is seeing so much from the Lord. And I think the reason is he gave more of his jars than we do. He said to the Lord, you can have all of myself and all of my time and all of my energy and my relationship. Moses surrendered so much. The disciples, you remember, said to Jesus, we've given everything to follow you. And Jesus basically responded to them, yeah, and you're going to see some things because of that. And if you study the lives of the disciples, I mean, they saw some things, right? Like the miracles that Jesus did in front of them and then through them were absolutely insane. It's because they brought more jars. I feel like this is the journey the Lord's been trying to take me on since I've moved to Hartford City, is saying, Josh, you need to surrender more jars to me. You need to give more of yourself each day. And I am far from, you know, this level, the level of what we see in the scriptures. But I feel like it's been such an eye-opening journey as Kelly and I have moved to Hartford to say, okay, Lord, what's another jar? What's something else we can give to you? And I'm going to share some of what Jesus has done in Hartford. And I don't want you to be mistaken, because Kelly and I, we only have empty jars, right? It's not full jars. It's not like it's our skill, our abilities, anything about us. It's empty jars. That's all that we have to bring. And the Lord is the one who pours blessing and kindness and love and all of these wonderful things, miracles, onto us. And it's because of what Jesus is doing, not anything me and Kelly are. Kelly and I moved to Hartford a couple years ago. And honestly, it's kind of a miracle we were even allowed to go there, because when we moved there, we didn't know a living soul in Hartford, not one person. And we did not have a strategy, if I'm going to be honest, when we moved there. Literally, our strategy from the start is we moved there and we're like, okay, well, what are we doing here? And so we would walk out our door and we would go on these prayer walks, and our strategy was just, I guess we'll say hi to strangers, like, that's all we knew to do. And so we would be praying, and then when we saw someone, we'd say, hi, how you doing? And try to strike up a conversation, a lot of times failing at that. But it was an empty jar. It was just something we learned, it's not much. And we began, through the Lord's favor and the Lord's blessing, he began to pour out. He began to give us relationships there. And we were there for probably, what, 7 months, 8 months before we had our first Bible study. In our first Bible study, we had one person from Hartford who came, and he was the next-door neighbor who deals drugs. He was literally the heroin dealer in our apartment complex, and he was the only person who came to our Bible study, and we were happy to have him. But the Lord began to work in his heart, and him and his girlfriend were saved. And the next couple that came to our Bible studies was Josh and Lindsay. And when we met them, they were involved in the occult, in witchcraft. They had lost a child. They were trying to communicate with the dead constantly, very involved in the occult. And they were extremely resistant to Jesus. I mean, and outspoken. They wanted nothing to do with it. But we prayed for them, and we prayed for them, and we prayed for them. And the Lord opened up where they started just to ask us questions about what we believed. Well, then they started coming to our Bible studies, and then they both were saved, both Josh and Lindsay. They came to Christ, and then their children came to Christ. The whole family was baptized, and then they took all of their paganism stuff, and we had a bonfire, and they burned it all with the church. And it was like, praise the Lord, like, he's doing something cool here. We started in our apartment, and we outgrew that after a little while. And we didn't have any money, and so we were praying a lot, Lord, we don't know what to do, but we need your help here. And he opened up the community room at our apartment complex. Usually you would have to put down money for that, but we prayed for favor, and the lady who our landlord, she said, you know what, just use it anytime you want, free of charge, gave us a key. And so we started meeting there as a church. We're like, oh, Lord, thank you so much. So we were there for several months, and then we began to outgrow that. And we started praying again, and we're going, Lord, we need something bigger because it's too many fish and too small a fishbowl. And so we were praying, and there were these two teenage girls who overheard us praying one night, and they came up to us afterwards, and they said, I know a guy who owns a small little building that's less than a block from here. And they said, would you like me to talk to him for you guys? We said, yeah, go make that connection. And so they went and they talked to him. And within that week, we had met him and his wife. And they ended up talking to us for, I don't know, maybe an hour. And then they handed us the keys to the building. And we ended up being able to stay in that building for a full year without paying any rent the entire time. And we were like, praise the Lord, because we do not have money and we needed this, God. And so it was like, a full year, and we're using this building. It was wonderful. And the Lord continued to grow our numbers, and we got to the point where we were outgrowing that building. And we were praying about it and saying, Lord, what are we going to do here? And he kind of forced our hand because a pipe burst in the middle of summer. Kind of strange. And we couldn't meet there anymore. And it was literally like Saturday, I think it was maybe Saturday night, they called us and said, hey, pipe burst. Sorry, you can't meet here. And we started talking to this little old lady, and I don't know her name. I don't know even know who she was. I don't remember her. But we were talking to this little lady, and she said, have you tried calling maybe the senior center? It's only a couple blocks from where we were meeting. And she said, you should call them. And so we called up the senior center, and after talking to them for a little bit, they agreed that we could meet there every single week for $200 a month, which, rent-wise, that is absolutely, like, phenomenal for us. And we could finally afford that now through the Lord's blessing. And it was just, like, these miracles of provision right as we needed them over and over. And we're going, Lord, thank you. And he was growing our group. We were having salvations. We were having baptisms. The salvations were, like, people who were atheists, people who were involved in witchcraft, people who were LGBT, you know, all these different people who started out so resistant to the gospel, and now they're going, yeah, I want to know Jesus, actually. And I was in over my head as far as these salvations. And so I was praying, Lord, please teach me how to disciple, because I don't know what I'm doing here. So I was praying that consistently. And I felt like, I won't go into details, but I felt like the Lord gave us this specific set up for how to do a Bible study. And there was one girl who approached us, and she said, can we start doing a Bible study on Wednesdays? And so me and Kelly started with her. And within a month of me praying to the Lord, please teach me how to disciple, me and Kelly did nothing to start Bible studies. But within that month, four nights of the week, we had people who had come to us, and they had asked us if they could start having Bible studies with us. And so four nights of the week now, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we have a Bible study every single night. And then also Sunday evenings, we have our church service. And it was like the Lord was just like pouring into jar after jar and saying, bring me more jars, bring me more jars. And the Lord is pouring out this kindness and this love into us. And the thing that was absolutely amazing about those Bible studies, every single one of them, we have testimony. Every single one of them, we have prayer. And every single one of them, we have the scripture reading. Those are our, like, what it's built on. And then a lot of times we have worship, and a lot of times we have times of silence where we're listening for the Holy Spirit. But the thing that was absolutely amazing was the people who started coming very often were not saved. They were atheists, and they were just friends and family of others. And they started saving each other, which is the thing that was remarkable, is it wasn't me and Kelly who were converting them. It started to be they were converting each other. Because Desi was the first one we started with, and she brought her sister. And her sister was saved. And Desi led her to Christ. And so then her sister started meeting with us on Thursdays. And on Thursdays then, her sister brought her friend Haley. And her friend Haley, within, I think it might have been the first week that she came, Desi led Haley to Christ. And then Haley brought her boyfriend, and they started meeting with us on Fridays. And Haley and her boyfriend, the boyfriend then came to Christ. And then now the sister of Desi now has led, her boyfriend actually got saved just this week, Thursday night. He committed his life to Jesus. And then we had a transgender girl named Dakota who had been, we had known her for, since we moved down, basically. And she started coming to the Bible studies, and she came to Christ. And then 2 weeks later, her boyfriend came to Christ because she led him through the salvation prayer herself, and he came to Christ. And it was like these mind-blowing, since we started the Bible studies, there are 11 people who came to Christ. And it was absolutely just like phenomenal to watch the Lord pouring out his blessing. One of the things that we're really excited about is about 5 months ago, me and Kelly do these prayer walks pretty often where we'll walk around the courthouse like Jericho and we'll be silent for the first 6 times that we're walking around it, just listening for if the Lord wants to say something to us. And then the 7th time we pray and then we're done. Well, I was walking around the courthouse about 5 months ago and I was listening for the Lord. And I felt like he said more clearly than I almost ever hear him. I felt like he said, "You're going to partner with Ryan Leffingwell someday." And Ryan was this guy, all I knew of him was he would come into the gas station where I work and he would buy coffee. And so we would say hi to each other. That's the only way I knew him. And I knew he was a bar owner in town of the downtown bar. And I thought to myself, how are we going to partner with this bar? Like, what is this going to look like? It's a bar owner. How are we going to partner with him in ministry? And so I said to Kelly, she didn't know who he was, and I said, there's this guy who comes in to buy coffee named Ryan. I'm putting this on the record because I feel like the Lord said this to me, but I don't know what it means. And so I said, I'm just going to tell you, I feel like the Lord said we're going to partner with him in ministry. And so then I said that, 3 months passed, and in that 3 months there was nothing. But then after 3 months, Ryan posted this status on his Facebook that said, this has been something that's been burning in my heart for a long time. And he said, I would like to open up my bar for a worship service for people who would never feel comfortable walking into a church so that they can have a place where they will be able to worship God and find him. So his status said, and Kelly saw it and she goes, Josh, that guy, is this the guy that you were talking about, Ryan Leffingwell? And I was like, yeah, that's the guy. And sure enough, it was his status. And so I said, well, message him. Ask him to meet with us. And so she messages him, and she says, you know my husband because you buy coffee from him at the gas station. And she said, can you meet with us and talk about this? So we went to a restaurant with him, and he was pouring out his heart. And he gets done, and he goes, so what's you guys' story? Like, why do you care? And he thought I was just a gas station employee. Like, he did not know I was here at a church plant. And so we started telling him what Jesus was doing through the church plant. And it was awesome because then he goes, oh, well, let's have you preach then. And so February is the first month we did it. We're starting to do monthly services now in his bar where he has put together the whole worship team. He has, I think he had, 7 guys last time, something like that. And he's put together this worship team. They sing the worship songs. There's no alcohol being served. And then I get to give a short message from Scripture. And it's just like this weird thing that God has just sprung up out of nowhere. And it's just been absolutely remarkable. So that was February. We did it March. And now we're doing it April 14th again. And we're so excited to see, because this isn't even related to the church that we're building. This is like a second church that God just said, I want a church in this bar now. And so here you go. And it's just like absolutely insane to see. We've just been blown away by the kindness of our Lord. As we've been down there, we've had stories of, we've had people who were miraculously healed. We had a girl who is wheelchair ridden because her back was always giving her so much pain. And she now says, she hasn't been in the wheelchair for, I think, almost a year now. And she says, you know, I don't have pain in my back anymore. She says, every once in a while, there will be like small twinges, but we've been praying for her that the Lord would continue that healing. And she doesn't have the pain that she once did. And she doesn't use the wheelchair anymore. We've had a young child who is dying, and we prayed for him, and the Lord saved his life. We have had all these different things of these healings. We've had people who've had visions, people who've had direct messages from the Lord as they did the prayer walk with us. We've had people who have had words of prophecy that have come true, people who've had dreams, and then those dreams came to fulfillment. Like the Lord, we're starting to meet the God of the Bible. It's like we're starting to see, oh, this is you. Like, and we're meeting you, and we're actually having these things happen in our midst. And the thing I really want to stress more than anything is this is absolutely nothing about us, because we're this empty jars. But the Lord is just saying to us, keep giving me more jars and I'll keep pouring my Holy Spirit. I'll keep pouring out blessing into your life, but you need to give me more of yourself. And that's my challenge to all of us today here in Living Faith Missionary, is let's give the Lord more of our jars. Let's say to him, okay, Lord, you can have not just my Sunday morning, but you can have when I get home from work, and you can have my time when I'm at work. I'll try to think of how to incorporate you, Lord. And you can have my weekends. And Lord, you can have my relationships and my time, you know, my what would usually maybe go towards Netflix, some of it's going to go towards you now, Lord. And you can have my energy. And we need to say, Lord, and here's another jar, and here's another one, and here's another one. And he will pour into those jars. He's so faithful. The Lord, it says, if we sow bountifully, the Lord will cause us to reap bountifully. That's the promise in Scripture. And the Lord says that if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. It's a promise in Scripture. I want to end by just reading this. Kelly had written this, actually, and it is about this passage. I love it, and so I'm just going to read it verbatim to you. It's one paragraph, and then I'm going to pray and we'll be finished. She wrote this. It says, "The Lord's power is limitless, but we bring so little to display his power through. There's no room for miracles because we live our lives so safely that we have no need. If we're sick, we just go to a doctor. If we need money, we scrimp and we save, holding back our tithes and our offerings. If we need peace, we distract ourselves with drugs, sex, shopping, Netflix, sleep. We hold up maybe one small clay pot of our lives for the Lord to fill in a year. And then we say we wish God wasn't so small. But it's not our God who is small, it's our offering. What would happen if we brought every clay pot we could find before the Lord? What would happen if every problem we ran into, Christ was our one sole solution? We scream into the skies, come close to me, Lord, come out of hiding. When will I have all of you and not just a piece? And the Lord echoes back to us, come close to me, child, come out of hiding. When will I have all of you and not just a piece? So bring me another empty jar, Lord. I'm ready. Pour yourself out." Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much for the chance to be here today and to share with Living Faith Missionary. Lord, this is a body of believers who want to see you move. I know that that's the truth, Lord. We want to feel your Holy Spirit move within us. We want to hear your voice, Jesus. We want to see the miracles of the Bible displayed in our lives. And so I ask, Jesus, that we will surrender more of ourselves to you. I ask, Jesus, that you will help us to give all of ourselves, to be wholehearted in our pursuit of you, Lord Jesus. Lord, you said if we have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, we will be filled. And so we ask for that hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We pray for a filling of your Holy Spirit. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.